let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm in the studio with Father John Wargle. Welcome back, Father John.
Good morning, Danny.
It's great to be with you today. We're going to talk about one of your posts on ancienthopes.org, which is the divine incantation, which is the part of Genesis 3 where God curses the serpent and doesn't curse Adam and Eve.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing. So tell us more about that.
Well, it is quite striking to think of that God cursing, right? But we'll have to look at the context of the whole thing. You know, we left our last podcast with them making leaves to cover themselves, right? And then it said that they heard the sound of God walking or moving through the garden in the cool of the day. Okay, now that's not kind of like a God's out on a stroll. You know,
I hear some footsteps coming.
You know, oh how nice. No, in the Bible, whenever God appears in theophanic form, you know, the theophany breaking into this temporal world, it's always with earthquakes. You know, just
giant wind.
Wind and everything like that. Okay. Now, before the fall, they would have been in awe and amazement and a good fear, like, whoa, you know?
Right.
A thrilling sort of thing. But now, since they have fallen and lost their glory, their first instinct is to run and hide.
Sure,
and
yeah. So fear.
That's our human instinct right now, is to run and hide from God.
Yeah, wow, that's a mistake. But I have a tendency to do that myself. I know that.
I mean, it's just the human predicament. And then God now is in search of man, okay? He's the one that's asking a question, where are you, you know?
Yeah.
So God's question here is very important. And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid. I had to hide myself, okay, because I was naked and I hid myself. And he says, well, who told you
to be
you
afraid?
Right? That's sort of a rhetorical question, because God knew and he knew that he lost his glory, and he's exposed not only to his wife, but was also exposed to God in this fallen form, right?
Yeah.
This loss of holiness. And so he asked the question, have you done what I told you not to do? Well, he never really answers directly. He says, hey, my wife made me do it, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, blame it on the wife.
You know, this it's the old pastor's joke. And I've said it a multitude of times, and I always get a laugh, you know. He comes to Adam and said, what have you done? And he points to Eve. And what have you done? And she points to the snake, and the snake didn't have two legs to stand on.
Oh,
I mean, everybody always laughs at that one, right?
I think I remember that one, yeah.
Yes. But what it shows really is that is how shifty they are and how shifty we are. And that's part of, you know, the snake was shifty, shifting blame, right? Mm-hmm. And now we are like Satan. We can't come to grips with our own sins, Danny.
Right. Sure, that's for sure.
Even when they're obvious and we're looking at them straight in the eye, you know?
Yeah.
So we have this penchant to shift, to be shifty, and to not really come to grips with our sins.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to do that. It's very hard to repent. There's no indication here that he's repentant.
Yeah.
Right. Not at all.
None, yeah. He's just responding to God's questions.
That's right.
Yeah, it was heard, yeah.
That's right, yeah. So anyways, there's always consequences. That's just the way the world is rigged by God, okay? We've talked about this before. It'd be nice if we can do whatever we want and get away with it, but we can't. You know, everybody's trying to do that. Yeah, that's the history of humanity, right?
Yep, that's what I try and do.
But you can't get away. You can't get away from the consequences. So what we have here is something very scary, okay? Usually we think of incantations done by wizards and warlocks and witches, right?
Sure, yeah.
But it is God who gives the first curse or the first incantation.
Mm-hmm. It is kind of interesting because you're right. It's more satanic. You know, it always comes across as being evil, a curse
right.
like that.
Right, right.
But in this case, it's God.
It's God, and that's shocking.
Yeah.
It's very shocking. And the fact, like we talked about in our last podcast, that to provide clothing, God must have been the first killer as well.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay. It's always unsettling, okay, to really read the text closely. Most of us don't, because we have this sort of grandfather imagery of God, you know, being this benign old, you know, sort of thing. But no. In the Bible, it
gets intense.
It gets intense. And if we don't feel that, Danny, then we're never going to really enter into the depths of where God wants us to take us.
Because right.
then we're creating God in our own image and making him the way we want him
sure.
to be.
Yeah,
right?
That's it. And that's why I think that what you're doing here with AncientHopes.org is really important. I mean, it's been important for me in these 20 posts that we've gone over. I've learned
right.
a ton about who God is, and we were only up to the third chapter of Genesis. Thinking,
we
oh,
have
boy.
A whole lot of fun ahead of us, don't
yeah,
we? Okay,
you got it.
So he starts, you know, with the snake, right? He curses the snake, and the curse is he'll be on his belly. Okay, now what the snake looked like before, I don't know, but you know, it must have been glorious, fascinating looking, so on and so forth. Right now,
so maybe it had two legs.
Maybe
to stand
it had
on
two legs, and my joke doesn't work.
Oh, and then now it doesn't anymore.
Right. So this could be what's called an etiology. Okay, sort of a folksy way of explaining why women are afraid of snakes. Okay,
yeah, sure,
not
yeah.
just women. I'm thinking myself. Yeah. I hate snakes, Danny. I really do. So it's not only that. Of course, he's cursing the power behind it that actually brought about evil in the garden.
Yeah,
and therefore Satan is cursed, and that means. When God a curse is only as strong as the cursor, right?
Well, yeah, so that's
and
disappointing
God is the
for the
strongest
snake.
At all. So, so Satan is cursed.
Yeah,
that means he is irredeemable.
Yeah, wow.
Okay,
done.
And that is because evil originated with him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so he curses the snake, or actually Satan through the snake, and the snake therefore becomes a symbol of scripture. Of evil, which is very fascinating because if you look at the snake in pagan cultures, they're associated with fertility because they seem to multiply close to the ground and earth magic, Mother Earth, priestesses and witches
yeah.
in the pagan world are always associated with snakes.
Yeah, they're always in
and
pictures.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing, you know, a phallic symbol, all these sort of things about in the pagan world that makes this a very positive motif, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in scripture, never. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Snakes, bad.
Yeah. Don't forget that.
Okay, right. Okay, so the snakes had it. Okay, in that sense. Okay. And then he goes to the woman, you know, and he doesn't curse her directly because she was deceived. And that's what St. Paul says later. You know what I mean? She's deceived. Of course, in all our deceptions, we're always exercising our own will. We're all responsible for it because we all know on some level we're being deceived, and she did too, right?
Right, yeah.
Right.
She knew whatever it was that she was doing she wasn't supposed to do, no matter whether she was being deceived or
right.
not. Right. So that's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line. So, okay. So because Satan brought evil into the world through Eve, God does a reversal here. He's going to bring the snake's destruction through Eve and her seed, right?
Mm, yeah.
And so there's going to be enmity between her seed and Satan's seed.
Mm-hmm.
So the seed motif becomes really huge in the Bible. I'm really starting here on out. Mm-hmm. Okay. And her seed's going to crush the head of the serpent, but the serpent is always going to be striking at it, right?
Yes, right.
So this is a terrifying image, right? You know, I happen to see it. I'm very, very rarely on Facebook, okay? But I saw something, someone posted of this vicious, poisonous snake, you know, striking at a guy, and it's biting his pants, okay? And maybe he had some sort of liver thing. He just was smiling and laughing about the whole thing, you know? There's a Texas rattlesnake roundup, I heard, that, you know, some guy goes in there with leather pants and in a bin full of rattlesnakes, and they're all striking at him, you know, and jeesh, you know.
That sounds nuts.
This is serious business, you know. So there's this war between evil and the human seed, okay?
Right,
but
yeah.
In the end, you know, God's going to succeed and crush the head of the serpent. So that's a positive thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. However, there's always a punishment, and that is childbearing. If, you know, conception would have happened before the fall, we don't know what it would look like. It certainly wouldn't look like what we're experiencing now with the pain and anguish that's involved with a woman sacrificing her body, basically for children.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I know a lot about that. I mean, just watching Doris.
Yeah, you've been watching Doris. Yeah.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargle. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
However, there's always a punishment, and that is childbearing. If, you know, conception would have happened before the fall, we don't know what it would look like. It certainly wouldn't look like what we're experiencing now with the pain and anguish that's involved with a woman sacrificing her body, basically for children.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I know a lot about that. I mean, just watching Doris.
Yeah, you've been watching Doris. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So there's that. But then, you know, in spite of the fact that this childbearing thing is going to be so painful, difficult, still, it says that your desire shall be for your husband. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now that word desire in Hebrew is teshukah. It's very interesting. It only happens here and one other place.
Wow.
And that's in the next chapter where God is talking to Cain and warning him. Okay. That sin is like an animal crouching at the door, and its desire for you.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Right. So I think it's very poetic here. I think it means two things at least, okay? And that is that, hey, the woman's going to have a sexual desire for the husband, and it's going to bring about childbearing, which is painful, right?
Yeah, right.
But there's also a desire, like the animal crouching at the door that wants to master us. There's going to be a conflict. Now, the woman is going to want to overcome the man or master the man or dominate the man, right?
Sure, yeah.
And then but the man is going to rule.
Yeah, the man is going to be in charge. God says that.
Right, yeah. Right, which is a part of the fall. It's never good for a man to dominate a woman, mm-hmm. and it's never good for a woman to dominate a man. Okay, so this is part of the consequences of fall, okay?
Sure. It creates a conflict that will continue on forever between a man and a woman.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And so, therefore, we've got this sort of dance that goes on between a man and a woman. It's more like a tango, like, you know, you never...
yep.
Right. You know, it's not an easy thing, right? Yeah. So, yeah, that's what we got there, right?
Yeah, not an easy thing, but it's not that it's not an easy thing. It's one of the hardest things.
Yes.
Which is really amazing to think about this coming from God directly saying, because of what you've done, you've created a conflict.
That's right.
Between a man and
a woman.
That's
right.
And that's just going to last forever.
Right.
Between every single woman and man. And we feel it. Doris and I feel it.
Of course.
So, yeah.
That's so, cool. You're right by bringing this up, this whole idea of conflict. The first conflict is between God and man, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's that, you know, how to get along with God. That's a really big issue, okay, that we struggle with all the time, right?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And how does God get along with us, you know? The second one is how we get along with our spouses.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard one, the conflict,
yep,
right?
Yep.
And then you have the broader issue of, as we shall see as it opens up, the conflict between races.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's the conflict with nature. Okay.
Yeah,
so
sure.
It just expands out and out.
Right.
Right.
So the term conflict is just, it's between human and everything.
That's right.
Even their own kind.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Even a conflict with ourselves.
Right. Okay, oh, gosh. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Inside. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
So this is all that's happening. Okay. So now when it comes to Adam, he doesn't curse Adam. Okay. Now, we've talked about, I think we may have said something about the fact that he gave the fruit to Adam, who was with her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who was with her. Okay. Now, that is really pregnant with meaning, right? Okay. Because where was Adam in this whole seduction thing, right?
Right.
He was given the law from God.
Mm-hmm.
He did not educate his wife and support her and garden and keep the garden like he was supposed
to. That's the biggie, yeah.
And so there you have it, okay? Ultimately, it falls on him. The buck stops with him.
Yeah, sure. Okay. He fell down on the job.
He fell down on the job.
Yeah.
Right. And, of course, that's a big lesson for all of us men, right? Are we going to fall down on a job or not, right?
Right, sure.
Yeah. So, but he doesn't curse Adam, okay, again. If he cursed Adam, then the show would be over.
Right, because he'd be not redeemable.
Unredeemable, yeah, right. But he does curse the earth with which we have to work.
Mm.
Okay.
The toil.
Oh, now, before, you know, working in the garden was a pleasant thing. You never broke a sweat, you know. everything is a creative activity. No thistles. No bugs and mosquitoes and
right,
stuff like
yeah.
that. You know, all these things that are the toil, okay?
Yeah.
Instead of work, in a positive sense, toil, because that with which he works with is cursed.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Now, Danny, do you ever wonder why, and we have to be honest here, we don't, you know, why we curse so much?
It's because I got conflict with everything.
I think even the purest of people who never, ever,
it
would
is
never
true.
Outwardly curse in front of somebody. I mean, there's profane people. That's all they do is curse, blah,
yes,
blah, 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 blah.
True, yeah.
And that was a shock for me coming out of the Protestant world and the Catholic world. Catholics often, you know, they throw around these words.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, Lord have mercy.
Really?
Haven't they read St. Paul about pure speech? What's
right,
going on
right,
around
exactly,
there?
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, you're a Protestant. You don't understand. Okay. Well, you know, I pretty much do understand, okay?
Yep.
Because even if you are have good control of your mouth, what wells up within us is curse words.
Sure.
Why? Because that with which we're working is cursed to give us troubles.
Sure,
That's where it all comes from. So when you're working with problems... Yeah, all alone here in your...
When my lawnmower won't start.
Your lawnmower won't start, or you can't get your equipment in the studio working.
Yes,
you
know, there you go.
You know, like that.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's interesting, though, with every invention of humanity is trying to overcome the effects of the curse.
Mm. Wow.
But when
make
we,
things simpler for us, make things easier.
Yeah,
you mean that, in
right,
that way.
Everything
yeah.
like that. But it's like... It's like whack the mole, okay? Because when you whack one mole, another one pops up.
Sure, yeah.
You know, because you fix something, it creates new problems.
Yes, right, sure.
Right. And that's because the earth is just simply cursed.
Yeah, great. Way to go, Adam.
Way to go, Adam. Right. And then finally, you know, dust you are, to dust you shall return. Again, that's when we die and our bodies fall away from our immortal spirits. It's not a cessation of existence.
Right.
But a diminished one.
Diminished.
And right. this, okay, goes right into the ancient Old Testament idea of Sheol, the realm of the dead, another world. You don't want to go there, but everybody ends up going there. And they are something less than, they're wispy, because... Death is a diminished, you know, a diminished existence, not a
right.
final cessation of existence.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah, so Danny, what other kind of questions do you have here that we haven't talked about here?
Okay, so I had a question about your statement that says, in the context of the legal inquiry of the judgment scene in chapter 3, 8 through 13, what did you mean by that? I don't understand. I don't understand exactly what that
okay.
means.
This is a very formal curse, right? I mean, it's a good curse. In fact, it's a great curse. If you can call something a great incantation, because God is the one who did it.
Right.
Yeah, and it's all within a context of disobedience, almost like a legal scenario where the judge is coming and is giving this sentence.
Okay.
Okay. So that's what I meant by that. Hmm. This is a legal inquiry into a judgment scene.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
One of the things that pops up in my mind is we're talking about the toil and sort of the conflict between us and nature, and it's time for me to prune my fruit trees.
That's right.
And so what do I have to do? I have to get a ladder, first of all, from my
That's
brother.
Right.
I borrow a ladder. And then I have to climb up 12 feet on this ladder, hang on to my balance.
Oh,
and
Danny,
prune
don't do this. Don't
all
do it.
The top of these trees. I do it every year in February. You know, I mean, this is the time
my.
To this is
okay.
the time to do it. But it really brings this whole thing to life when I think about that struggle and leaning out over
Danny,
to try and
don't do
to
this.
Try
we can't,
get
we can't afford you to fall from 12 feet.
Right, I know. But I'm just saying.
I don't want to visit you in the hospital with your arms and legs and your body in traction.
Right. It sort of brings it to life, though, for me,
yeah.
is this whole conflict
this.
Of
right.
the toil. Yeah, and it has to be done. You know,
it
otherwise, I'm
done.
Not going to get as many.
Overgrown, yeah.
The pruning.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's important.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, brings that. That brings it
say,
to life for me.
Be careful, please.
I will do that. Yeah, yeah. I do that.
So the whole thing is, it's just so very serious. And here, maybe we can end with this. You know, this is so important for understanding who we are as human beings. You know, in the modern construction of things, you know, with the evolutionary model, where we sort of just popped up out of nowhere,
yep.
right? Death seems to be just sort of a mistake in the system, so to speak.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
It sort of slipped in and, you know, and we try to fix it as best we can, but we can't, right?
Mm-hmm.
We do everything we can with medicine and, you know.
Try and keep our health.
Yeah, right. It's because we have lost the connection between sin and death.
Mm.
And when we lose that connection between sin and death, then death becomes meaningless.
Right,
we don't understand it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we lose all sense of sin, too, because, you know, what is sin? It's disobedience. Disobedience to who? God. Who's God? Where's he?
Yeah.
He's some remote thing out there that some idea that people talk about, you know. So we lose everything if we lose this passage here and the significance of it, which is sin is, in fact, directly linked to death. And if we can make that link, then everything falls in place in Scripture.
Yeah, good. Okay, thanks. Thanks for the deep dive into that scripture verse.
Okay, God bless you.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.